Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and He loves us so much. We are at a point in time where God is moving through people who cooperate with Him, people who share the same devotion for His people. Sometimes people of God, Jesus said that the church say come, but there are people now, they will do all that it takes to win souls, and whatever God give them to do, they will rejoice in it and do it. You know, when whatever we do for the Lord, if we do it with praise in our heart. See, in yesterday's broadcast, I touched on the fact that everything that you do can be worshiped. Everything can be worshiped, and it's important. It's just worship is of the heart. The thing about worship is sincerity. When you know that relentless sincerity. When you praise God, and you're in faith about something, praise is the loudest voice of faith. It overrides all the obstacles of the devil. If you want to get rid of doubt, praise God in faith. Be in faith about whatever it is you're in covenant with God about, and praise Him for it. Praise Him because He's worthy. And see, people are doing this in their ministry. They're thanking God for the prompts of the Holy Spirit, for the guidance. They're one. They're not afraid. They don't let the traditions of this world hold them back. They're living without the doubt of this world. And there, you know, these doubts come from three places: our country, our kindred, and our father's house. That's what God told Abraham to walk out of and go to a land that He was showing. And Abraham obeyed God. And now he was able to live without interference. But interference always tries to happen. When he was in Egypt, 10 years. And then when Sarah asked him to have a child through her handmaid, well, that's because the word is plainly showing you he was there for 10 years. He was in Egypt, in Canaan land, for 10 years. the culture affects you. Even the strongest of us, you have to take a bath and worship in the Word of God. When the Word of God is your forefront focus, then you're able to see the world for what it is and keep out of it. But the influence, you have to make godly decisions without worldly decisions, without worldly influence. Never underestimate worldly influences. It's around us. It's everywhere. People think a certain way, even politically. People try to move you according to their political persuasion. And so, if you have a differing opinion, then every holiday you got to deal with your family that's got a different outlook. And they voice their convictions politically. And they're fully persuaded one way or the other. And in most cases, there is no in between. But I want to share something with you. A lot of times people overlook this particular verse. But when you trust man, you set yourself up for terrible forms of failure. Now, Jeremiah 17. Let's see. Let's 17:11 is the scripture I use a lot when I go to verse chapter 17. Because it shows you that as a partridge sit on the eggs and hatches them not, so is any man that get riches and not by right. Should leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end should be a fool. But that's not the one I was looking for. That means you can't get money the wrong way and keep it and live happily ever after without problems. But before that, I think it is. It says, cursed is he who trusts in man. And that's the one I'm trying to find right now. When if you trust in man, that's a huge problem. Here it is. So Jeremiah 17:5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So when people go around trusting political figures, you know, it's that I believe in voting for good people, godly people, good choices. But my trust remains firm in the Lord. And whoever people vote for and whoever win, we're supposed to pray for the people and not take it personal when they do crazy stuff. Even if it's the candidate we like, you have to pray for that person because they're under pressure. And the candidate that you don't like, they're under pressure too. And they need you to be praying. And you have to tell Satan, you have the authority as a man or woman of God to stop Satan. And Satan has a plan for every president, governor, senator, representative, every political mayor, everybody, mayors, governors. He has a plan against them. And he has an organized evil network comprised of fallen angels, demons, people, and even Christians that don't know God. And he uses them strategically. And the reason I say Christians, because when people don't hear from God and do things God's way, whatever you're persuaded by, that's what you're allowing to be your master. So sometimes people allow Satan in their ways and in their thinking process because they don't filter it with the Word of God. And sometimes people are persuaded by the influences of the people they trust and love. Same thing. All Satan got to do is infiltrate the people you trust and love. And then he sits back and you do whatever he wants you to do too. That's why I tell, you know, when Satan comes with anything, if somebody upsets me or if they're doing things against me, I tell Satan, you can't use them against me and you can't use me against them. I cut everything off. Because if you get out of balance somewhere, that's when the Satan will... You know, people agree with him somewhere. If you agree with him somewhere, he can interfere with your life. And that's a problem. And it's an unnecessary problem. Because if we can be persuaded by the Holy Spirit only. And people, you know, the people who yield to the Holy Spirit, they'll say the same thing that the Holy Spirit is saying. And I can prove it so many ways. And that's going to be, I decided a long time ago, that's what I will only be persuaded by. That's why I say I will do all that's in God's heart. I don't just trust my own efforts to do that. I involve God. I know if God is involved, I can do a perfect work. And that's been proven. But it's my will to do things. I only want to serve God and I don't want to serve Satan nowhere. I don't want anything I do to benefit him. Or I don't want his interference hindering me from doing what God wants me to do. I ought to be doing everything in God's heart anyway. There's no reason. Jesus set us up to do things in a godly fashion. We're designed to be just like him. It's enriched in our DNA. The Lord said to us, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. He made us in his image. So it's my will to live in his image and not Satan's image and not the worldly way. I trash the worldly way. Everything of the world is trash to me. And just because people believe a certain thing that I like and look up to, when I understand what the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm going with the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said, let your light shine. Sometimes you have to let your light shine among people, fellow believers. When they do the wrong thing, you do the right thing. I plan to do the right thing as I understand it. And I ask the Lord to help me. Now, it's so easy to do the right thing. If you stay balanced, you're trusting the Lord. You're going by his love, his ways. And I love what God gave me about balance. He said, balance is determined sincerity. And I'm determined to be sincere before God first and foremost. There's no reason for sin. I love God's definition for balance. He said, and I read it before, but I read it because sometimes people don't hear all the different, I read it and I try to put a word this important in other broadcasts because sometimes people may miss it. When you look at the web page, the titles are so interesting. Some will stand out more than others. So I want this balance in there. I want people to get it. I'm not going to really put it in everyone. But as the Lord, if I talk about balance, I read this word again. He said, balance is determined sincerity to the love of God, the holiness of God, and the wisdom of God, saith the Lord. And then he said this, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. It's steadfast and unmovable and never changes. He said, proud men can never be balanced. Value it or appreciate it. Proud men can never be balanced, value it, or appreciate it. When you understand that, it gives what God told Timothy, Titus, 1 Titus, he said to the pure, everybody's pure. But to those that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing's pure. And this is why. Proud men can never be balanced, value it, or appreciate it. They are enemies to my balance, saith the Lord. Their focus is within, and it is a worldly way. I love how he said that relentlessness, perfect balance is relentless sincerity. That means you'll be sincere no matter what happens around you. Abraham had to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house physically. And when Lot departed, he was in full obedience. And then the Lord told him to count the stars, and the Lord changed his name. Told him what to do. Made a covenant with him. Now, we have to, what does that tell us? That's for our admonition. We have to leave all of the worldly influences. Just like we would hate a plague like cancer. We have to leave the evil persuasions of people. See, Satan, the lukewarm church was not an accident. It's a weapon. The lukewarm church is a weapon. They are under Satan's control. I can prove it. If you look at what Jesus was saying, it took me a long time. The Lord, the end of last year, he dealt with me heavily about the lukewarm church. I kept looking at it. I said, Lord, there's something going on. It didn't sound like he was talking to his people, even though he addressed them as such. They thought that they were his people. He said, He said, look at what Jesus said. This is why I say the things I do. Verse Verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. So that means their works are contaminated. Their works are infiltrated with filth. Their works are infiltrated with the filthy ways, leaven of Satan, the filthy leaven of Satan, which is sin. They're neither cold nor hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spit thee out of my mouth. If you ever, I like to eat pecans in my cereal. If you get a hold to a bad pecan, nothing in your mouth tastes good anymore. I don't care how good the cereal was, it doesn't taste good anymore. Satanic contaminants taste terrible to God. Just like a bad pecan tastes bad in your mouth. That's what a lukewarm person is to God. He'll spit you out of his mouth, kick you out of his kingdom. Now, the Satan was crafty in doing this. The biggest problem about the lukewarm church is their assessment. He said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art, look at this, wretched and miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Look, this is the opposite of what God told Adam. They're miserable. They should be fruitful. It's more blessed to give than to receive, right? Miserable people can't do that. They can't keep covenant. Nothing of God will be covenant to them. They do things because they're supposed to. They do things because they were taught to. But they're miserable. They're not doing it out of love. Sometimes people become miserable for. It can be for different reasons. Sometimes people are miserable because they do the right thing for the wrong reason. Everybody else is paying tithes, so I pay tithes. Doggone it, I pay tithes. That's how people do. Miserable. Okay, everybody go, I go to church. They're miserable. Sometimes people are in competition. Somebody preach a good message, in vainglory. That make you miserable too. I got to upstage him. He did too good last week. Miserable. That's a miserable thing to do. He making me look bad. Miserable. All right, if God is behind, if God gives somebody a message and it's a blessing, that's God talking to you to make your life better. They just did what they were supposed to. But when there's vainglory, there's a problem. When there's envy and strife, there's confusion and every evil work. If you want to get rid of confusion and every evil work, especially this misery, get rid of the envy and strife. Thank God that somebody did better than you did. You know what? People do better than me all the time. I can't do some of the things people do. I see people do things, the patience of a pastor is so beautiful. You know, if I was a pastor, I'm glad I'm not. I have the patience for what I do. But pastors, they're different. My dad was he pastored. People call you in the middle of the night. They don't go to church. They don't listen. Then they get in trouble. Then they want you to help them with everything. and you said everything they needed while they were out goofing off. Preaching is just an aspect of pastor. The labor. I love pastors. When the Lord sent me with a message like he did, he gave me a super love for pastors. And no matter how I was treated, it didn't matter. I loved those pastors. And when I didn't understand, I stayed in balance because of the things that Jesus taught and the training that he gave me before he sent me. And then it took so long, it took decades for me to understand what I do now. And when the Lord showed me that if you don't enter into a glory, there are some things you're not going to be able to see. And they can't be judged for what they don't know. But they can't be rewarded for what they didn't do either. Now, God gave them a snapshot of what would happen if they did things God's way and if they did things man's way. And they did the things that they approved more than what God wanted. They didn't follow God to his specification. If they did, if they would have caught the revelation that he was trying to give them, their ministry would have been over the top. And that's what I long. Look, let me put it this way. If each of those pastors had done what they were supposed to do, they would have looked grand in the eyes of man, and I would have looked like I did all along. All I did was gave them a message. They would have been probably on TV, or they might even have a network of TV stations that they're on now. God was trying to give people super anointings. And I walk around knowing that they didn't get it. And that used to aggravate me so much. But I had to get out of that. Because God is fish. He was fishing for people who would do precisely what God would give them to do. And now he has people that's doing so. So, if when you're miserable, you can't go any further. He said they're miserable. Now I'm going back to Laodicean church. They're miserable and poor. Now they said they were rich. They have goods. They have possessions. But they're poor. Spiritually. In the kingdom of God, they have no wealth. They're broke. They're poor. Then they're blind. They can't see their condition. And that bothers me for their sake. People drift into this. They drift into a Laodicean life. Because they don't drive out the Canaanites. They're no different than the Israelites that didn't drive out the Canaanites. Now, when you look at every time they list the lineage of Jacob, the lineage of Israel. Okay, the first time they did it, that was the birth order. And then over time, they were listed according to rank. When Israel prayed for his children, he told what would happen. And every time they're listed according to their faithfulness. Now in Revelation, they're listed according to their faithfulness, according to their rank, not their age. And Dan was missing. I used to wonder for years, Lord, why in the world was Dan missing and replaced with Manasseh? But when you read the Judges, Dan was the only tribe that ran from the enemy. Dan stayed in ships when they should have been fighting. So they were missing. They didn't have 12,000. I'm sure that there are some Danites. And I know that there are some married into the other, tribes. But they were missing in Revelation. Some people are like Dan. Or Judas. They're not there. They're on the earth, but they're not in God's kingdom. They're blind. They can't see their condition. And some people allow things of darkness into their lives. And this is the result. And then naked. All of these things, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. All of them come from leaven. It's as if Abraham tried to stay in his country around his kinfolks in his father's house and still obey God. That's what would have been the result. He wouldn't have been able to go forward and be a man of covenant in that arena. Now you can't leave physically your nation, kindred, and father's house sometimes. But you can leave it. You can always leave it spiritual by going by the Word of God. See, there are sometimes people hold on to things they shouldn't. Sometimes people will allow lust in their life, greed, racism, pride. All these things, anything of Satan can cause a person to be miserable. Because that's what, whatever you're following, that's what you gave your allegiance to. That's what's controlling you. And so, I keep noticing that people who do the most outstanding ministries, they got something in common. They were unchurched. You know, I was watching Kenneth Copeland the other night, and the Lord saved him. He had no church background. He didn't have and Gloria Copeland didn't either. They didn't. They got saved, and they were trained without the religious pressure. And then they were introduced to people of God. You wonder why they on TV. It's because they were not indoctrinated the wrong way. They were free from. It was just like Abraham. They were in a position of covenant. They were free from their country, kindred, and their father's house. Not saying that their father was bad people, not saying Abraham's father was bad people, or their kindred, or their country. Because when they needed wives, they went back to their kindred, you know. Abraham went back to his kindred and found a wife for his son. But for God's standard, you got to leave your country, kindred, and father's house. God's standard is higher than ours. Our standards are too low for God's purposes. And God wants to introduce his, everything of God is pure. And he's trying to find pure people so he can introduce greater revelations to. I tell my wife all the time, I say, I know this about God. When he finished teaching you something, you're going to see how simple it was and easy it is to be entreated. It's pure. There's no fault in it. And it can promote you and put you over. So he can't release holy things through contaminated people. Well, some people would say, I'm not contaminated. Well, guess what? The Laodicean church was blind. They couldn't assess right. Contaminants. Okay. The next time God tells you to do something, this is how you can prove whether you're contaminated or not. If reluctance rises up in you, or fear, or for whatever reason, if there's any form of reluctance to do what God said do, you are contaminated. Next time you feel reluctant against God, search out why. Even ask God, why am I reluctant? I shouldn't be reluctant. I should be jumping to do whatever you say do. And that's how it was with the past. They should have been jumping to do whatever God said do. That's what sincere people did. And if people, I gave a man a word and his ministry took off. So people can do this. It's easy. Every time God teaches something, it's easy. If those pastors would have did what the Lord said through me, they would have looked great. God would have been pouring all kind of anointings on their life, multiplying the anointing that they had, multiplying them into his full purpose and will. Now, this is detached from me. I just pointed them in the direction. Just like I'm doing now. I'm pointing people in the right direction. Because once God is involved and you're in full covenant with him, without Canaanite interference, there's no limits. It's easy. Everything is easy. Everything about the anointing is easy. When you're in agreement with God, everything you can just flow into what God say. Satan will try to stop you, but you'll say, "Hush, move aside, get out of my path," and he'll have to do it. Fighting Satan is a cakewalk. If you win the war within, the war without is a cakewalk. It's easier than any cakewalk. You know it. That's just the way it is. But when Job said, I heard with the hearing of the ears, but now I see with the seeing of the eyes. That's what happens when you follow God. That's what happens when you hear him out, when you let him talk to you. Most of my prayers communing with him and listening with the intent to cooperate. I'm not listening reluctantly. I'm listening with the intent to cooperate. And everything that was a problem, you know, I saw a man in Walmart acting out. He looked like he was in terrible pain. I didn't just walk up and say, "What's wrong?" I said, "Lord, what's my wisdom?" I looked to the Lord. See, I don't go around doing things in the power of my might. I looked to the Lord. The Lord didn't say anything till later, and he told me what to pray. Now, when you look to the Lord and do things in the power of his might, it's going to be covenant appropriate. I didn't want that man in pain, but I wanted to do something. So I asked, "What do I do?" I could use my brain and do something, but that wouldn't get it. If we ever get this, God will always compensate for us. Consider these things, because God is mighty moving by his Spirit. And I want to see all of his people linked and moving by his Spirit in perfect covenant.